Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Dan, who is here to speak with us about his experience of participating in our current email class. Welcome, Dan.
Thanks, Jen. It's a great, great pleasure to be here.
I almost said our most recent email class, and then I realized, well, actually, we still got our extra credit assignment going. So
Exactly. Exactly. It's ongoing. It's live.
Yeah. So say more about what you've seen as you've participated in it.
Well, it was really tempting to prepare for this call, and so now I'm feeling unprepared because I resisted the urge.
Good for you. That right there, we can say, is a benefit.
Right there. Well, it's true, and you know, it's funny. So I was sitting here waiting. You know, there was just dead silence on the line. I was waiting to be unmuted, and like, did I call the right number? And like, is anybody going to be there? And I said, well, what, you know, how do I come at that experience from the perspective of the class? And saw sort of, well, okay, so I'm nervous. I'm being told that I messed it up and that it's not going to work out. And that'll be embarrassing and I'll lose this whole opportunity. So there's some weeds in our garden.
Some weeds, mm-hmm.
There's some weeds. And I saw, you know, well, why is this even bothering me? I mean, you know, and it's bothering me because the ability to participate in open air with Sangha and talk about how great the class was and to participate in practice is really important to me. And so to be told I might be missing this opportunity or I might have messed it up is, you know, it's like that's kind of pointing at the flower, right? The weeds are like obscuring the flowers. That's what makes them weeds. And so
exactly.
It's like, oh, you know what? I'm really excited about this opportunity. That's why I'm nervous.
Yes. I mean, that's it right there, Dan. And what I love so much about what you're saying is that feels exactly what this year of practice is pointing towards is, okay, great, we've got all these tools. Now let's use it in our moment-by-moment lives in the situations that come up. And so that's what you did. You realize,
yeah.
You know, you were getting on the show. First, there's that campaign to get ready for it. And you see that and you don't go there. And then you realize, okay, a lot of energy in the body, a little nervous, you know, what's going on? And you start to really look at that. And what that makes available to you is to just get on the call and be present.
Yes. And the, you know, and where the class sort of, I don't know where other people have sort of kind of ended up at the end of this class experience. But for me, it's sort of been like, okay, and now there's another experience that I think is being pointed to, but I'm not sure, which is, you know, I can kind of bounce between focusing on the weeds and then, you know, putting my attention on the flower, on the joy I'm having in doing this experience. And then there's this also kind of larger, you know, attention on awareness. What does that mean in this situation, right? So it's like, well, I don't know what it means. I really don't. Like, I hope I have the whole year to try and find out. But right now, it's sort of like, well, maybe that's just, you know, the awareness that Dan is nervous and excited and happy. Like, maybe that's what they're talking about. I don't know. We'll see. That's what it is right now. That's what it is right now.
Yeah. Well, and that attitude in mind is everything, isn't it? So, you know, there's all these layers to it, and it feels like, well, it feels like another layer that is now putting attention on awareness. Well, what does that mean? Well, I don't actually really know what that means, which, again, I project is another movement of catching that ego is trying to get me into a conversation about Zen, right? I really know that I don't want to go there. Right. So then what I realize is actually, I really don't know. Not only do I not know, but I don't need to know. And I have an entire year to explore that. And, you know, as you say, we get little clues along the way. Well, maybe it's just that awareness that Dan is nervous and da, da, da. And we just get to practice and be open to all of it unfolding in that way.
Yeah. And it's great. It's really been a fun experience, I think. I have things to say about the structure too, but not even the structure, but sort of the path, the curriculum. We were sort of brought from, you know, what is practice anyway, and why do we do it? To so, what is it that we're doing, and what's that like, and what, you know, how does it work? And it's just been a really nice kind of a recap in a very short time of what for me anyway has been a much longer process.
you know, that's really neat, Dan. I hadn't, because I hadn't seen it that way, but that really resonates, that it feels like we really got walked through a process in a relatively short period of time, whatever number of, you know, a few weeks that it's been, and really being walked through those steps of what is practice anyway, and then what is it like to actually practice it, and then culminating in exactly what you started the call with of then using that those practices in my actual life, right? It's not just about getting on a radio show each morning or once a week or reading the books, or it's actually living my life inside of practice. Everything I do is practice. Everything, practice informs everything.
Yeah, and it's for me it's bringing, you know, it's bringing practice into to each moment. And so actually kind of in between classes, this is what I've been working with anyway. It's like, okay, so let's look, you know, I spend a lot of hours a day doing what I'll call work. And sort of noticing that, you know, my attention is in just a very few places. It's either worrying about something, so it's unconditioned mind, in conversation with conditioned mind, or it's kind of lost in the work, which is a nice experience. Mm-hmm. I enjoy that. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't call it totally present either, because it's like, how do you get to that larger perspective? How do you incorporate attention on awareness, you know, when it's not just bouncing between weeds and flowers? Like, what is that? And what is that at work? And what is that at dinner? And what is that, you know, brushing my teeth? And what is that, you know, it's like, what is that? And so just as you say, it's really, you know, how do we do this all the time? What is this full-time thing that we're being pointed at, right?
Yes, exactly. Being full-time awareness practitioners. Yes. So I'm doing, as you say, what I would call work, a lot, many hours of the day. And then there are other, you know, I'm at dinner with my family, I'm brushing my teeth, whatever. And what is it to have attention on awareness in those places? And as you say, having the entire year to explore that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really, it's really exciting. And I'm grateful for the experience. I think the class, like, it dropped in the other day that my sort of summary of the class was sort of like, okay, well, we're here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer. It's kind of where we started. Yeah. And in my experience, it's kind of what we did last year. And it's like, but that's not, the phrase doesn't end there, right? There's no period there. It's like, here's how we cause ourselves to suffer so we can drop that. And it's like, right. So what's that movement? What is dropping that? How does that work? What are we talking about when we say that? And then it doesn't even stop there. It's like, so we can end suffering, and how? What is that? And how is it more or different or encompassing, you know, the first two parts of that? And so it's just really nice. It's a really nice, I don't know what to say, sort of a, you know, it's like so many things in Zen, right? It's like a splash of cold water that just sort of like, oh, right. So at least that's where it took me and made me very excited for the year.
Yeah, exactly. That splash of cold water of like, you know, it starts to reveal places that we hadn't even realized weren't revealed, right? Oh, I see. There's and getting that, you know, that phrase that we always use, we'll use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer so we can drop that and end suffering, that you're so right. Often those last parts get sort of inadvertently left off the equation, and a lot of attention can be on the suffering. But what's that like to drop the suffering? And that's ending suffering. Boy, and what is in there? And all of that exploration without any of it needing to be a conversation in conditioned mind, but an actual experience.
Yeah, exactly. That puts a finger right on it, right? It's like, okay, we say that all the time. What is the experience of that? Not in the sense of like, you know, what have I learned in however many years I've been doing this, but like, what is my experience of that right now? Like, what is that?
Yes. Yes. Oh, it's so good. It's so good. Yep. Yeah.
Pretty exciting.
It is exciting. It's really exciting. I just, it just feels like such a beautiful place that we're in right now. And Dan, thank you for being with us this afternoon to talk about your experience of it.
Well, very happy to be here in every way.
Yes, exactly. Very happy to be here. Yeah, lots of layers to that as well, aren't there?
Exactly. Yeah. Thanks so much, Jen. Have a great show.
Thank you. Take good care. Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye-bye.
And Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Ashwini.
Wonderful. Thank you, Dan, and thank you, Jen. Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air, and good afternoon, Ashwini.
Hey, Michael.
Hi. I enjoyed that conversation with Dan and Jen, especially about direct experience, and I just find that very valuable.
Absolutely. What Dan said in framing what the year-long is about, and it was just so spot on, right? It's the exploration of awareness. If we're awareness practitioners, then it's not just about exploring ending suffering and what ego is, but also exploring the awareness that's aware. And so, yeah, it's a very exciting exploration. All
yes.
Those movements and knowing what causes us to suffer, dropping it and ending suffering. What are all those components we get to look at? So that's very exciting.
Yes, going beyond just classifying all of the weeds over and over and over.
Precisely. And Michael, I know that there have been some questions about whether it's still possible to join the year-long. And we have a week before the next retreat starts. So if people are interested in joining the year-long, they're welcome to do that. And what we will do is invite them to the email class that we just did and have them catch up with us, because it's all going to build on, every step is going to build on the previous one. So the email class built on the kickoff, and the next phase will build on the email class. And so we want everyone to be in lockstep as we take the next step. So
yes,
if you are interested in joining the year-long, now would be a good time, because you have a week to catch up before we get into the next phase of it.
Great. And so those folks would go to the website, livingcompassion.org, and
well,
look for programs.
Actually, no, Michael, please write into the registration office if you want to join us for the year-long, because we need to do it. It's not open on the website for registration.
Okay,
what is open is just the next phase, which is open to everybody, so you're welcome to do that as well, but that doesn't guarantee that you'll be in the third phase of our daily process and radio shows. So it's a different process to sign up for the year-long than to sign up for the next step.
Okay, great. So folks would email information at livingcompassion.org.
Correct.
Okay, wonderful. And I have a couple of announcements there related to that.
Great.
Now that we have committed ourselves to full-time awareness practice, we can count on ego to try to thwart us at every turn. The virtual retreat, Being the Change, the second step, starting next Monday, February 15th, will explore resistance and provide support for transcending it with daily assignments and two Sunday workshops. And please note that those who have signed up for the year-long retreat are already registered for this offering. So no need to sign up separately for these if we've already signed up for the year-long retreat, then?
Precisely, yes.
Great. And for these and other practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And if you'd like to talk with Ashwini today, you can make a show by pressing *6 and then 1 to get in the queue. And a conversation on one topic, please. And about 5 minutes is great. Okay, Ashwini, I think we are ready to go.
Okay.
All right. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, this is Isalta. I was so not expecting to be on. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, my God. I wasn't even thinking about the possibility, you know. I just put myself in the queue for, because I always do, you know. Wow.
Uh-huh.
Let me think something that I've been looking at with practice, so I can tell you. I've been thinking a lot about how everything is practice. Also, not only meaning that everything is practice, like with capital P, our practice, but also in the sense that what we practice is what we have now. So whatever we do, we are practicing something, no?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And
whatever we do, we are practicing something, right? We're either here paying attention or we're not paying attention. So we're practicing.
Exactly.
One another. Yes.
And I've been really enjoying it because I always consider practice would be like our practice, or otherwise, well, taking away our practice, that I think is in everything in life, but small p practice, I only applied it maybe to learning an instrument or doing sports, while lately I'm really trying to take everything as, okay, what I'm practicing now, you know? And mm-hmm. with both questions, you know, with capital P and small p. And it's been really helpful and useful. I'm very happy about this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so going from that very limited definition of practice, right, because the conditioned definition of practice is something that you do to become, attain perfection or skill in specific areas of your life, like sports or musical instruments. But to expand the definition of practice to being what we're looking at, right? How, whatever it is that we're doing can be considered practice in the sense of I project paying attention, right?
Exactly.
That's the only way you can practice anything is by giving it all your attention.
Exactly. And treating myself like somebody who is training something. For example, I've been going, like living my small drama with customers at work throughout last year, you know, and I worked on it throughout last year, you know. And now I started a different approach because I was thinking, okay, if I'm learning, for example, to play the guitar, or if I'm training, I would do 20 minutes, take a break, see where I am, see what I can do better. You know, I would really take it like something I'm learning and then... And so now I started working like that, you know, like saying, okay, so now it's going to be practicing being kind and enjoying my customer. So this is what I'm practicing for the next 20 minutes. Okay, how many emails I have to reply? How many people I have to talk to? Okay, let's, as if it were drills, but drills of being kind and being present with them. That was kind of the attitude.
Oh, that's so brilliant, because I think that's what you're pointing to, that it's not just what it's what you're practicing, but entering a training mindset. I think that's what Dan and Jen were talking about, the way in which we bring all practice into all of life into practice is exactly the way you're talking about, where everything becomes a training metaphor, right? So instead of just suffering with my customers, if what I want to be is kind and caring with my customer, and I'm in a training mindset, I'm training to do that. And I bring the training models in sports or music to this as well. So if I was training on a skill, the skill is to be kind. I set a particular goal. I set a particular time. I practice it. And then I actually review to see where I am. Not review from self-hate, but just go, okay, well, how am I doing?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I would never beat me up about, I would never allow beatings about those things, you know, because it's just, okay, this is where I am now, you know, I'm not a concert musician or a professional athlete. So it really changes everything, yeah.
It does. That's it. It changes the perspective with which you approach it, right? Because if you're learning something, then you have, if you're lucky, have the freedom to be able to actually know that you're not an expert at this and you're only trying to develop a skill. This is where you are. That's the fact. And so then as you practice it, you get feedback, hopefully from the mentor or whatever, and there's a way in which I learn. I change, I improve, I work out what's working. So maybe 20 minutes is not a good idea. Let me change it to 15 minutes, right? Because in 15 minutes, I can be kind. And then tomorrow, when I can attain 15 minutes, maybe I can do 16. It's very,
exactly.
very, yeah, it, you don't beat yourself up. There's, it's not a punishment. It's not a contest. It's just a framework of learning a particular thing that I want to do and do in this particular way.
Exactly. And now that I was listening to you, I can see also the, a connection of seeing it as a way of focusing on the flowers instead of on the weeds, kind of. I mean, yeah. I see a connection there. Not exactly sure how, but I can see it.
Well, let me see. Let me run this by you, Isota, because this is the connection I'm seeing, right? Because if my entire the way I'm bringing it into practice is, oh my God, I'm having a suffering time with my customers. It's all focused on the weeds, right?
Mm.
I'm suffering. I shouldn't do this with my customers, or I should be different with my customers, or whatever it is. But the whole of the email class is not. It's focused on, well, how do you want to be with your customers? I want to be kind. So that's the training focus. And kindness is, it's a flower, not a weed, right? It's the difference between dropping ego and transcending ego. The transcendence is the focus on being kind.
Yes, and it makes sense because it's like, okay, I spent 1 year analyzing all the process just to know it, you know? And now I want to train the other part, you know? Exactly. It's fantastic.
Yes. Yes. So as the lovely little story we heard in the email class goes, I actually do have to know what a weed is. Because
otherwise,
the whole garden would be weeded, right? Because I don't know what a fruit is and what a flower is. And so now I'm very conscious about what a weed is, and I can put the weed aside, and I can enjoy the flowers, and in the process, cultivate. Because I project when you are training to be kind, what happens eventually is that you're enjoying your job, right? There's a way in which witnessing everything that happens is not a suffering place. It's a very expanded awareness place.
Ah, yes, yes, because by the way, the whole idea of training to be kind was not mainly for the customer, it was for me, you know, because it's so much more pleasant to be kind, yeah.
That's
well, for
exactly
both,
right,
I mean, yeah.
So you get to live in the garden, right?
Mm-hmm.
You get to live in the garden, rather, because there are customers who are difficult, there are challenges that you have that you want to kind of work on, because there are weeds, and so, but the whole process becomes a pleasant one, because there are all those movements that you're talking about in that you've approached it as training.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God, I'm so lucky. And all this idea came up during the class, you know. I don't know exactly what triggered it, but it's so beautiful how to each of us it triggers different things, and then we tell it to one another. Oh, we are so lucky. It's so fantastic, isn't it?
It is. And it's amazing that it's exactly that, right? Because what I see and what you offer to us now sparks the ability for all of us to set up our training programs that way, right? It may never occur to me that I want to approach bringing all of life into practice through a training process of being kind. Now that's available.
Well, this is so great.
Thanks, Isota.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Deep,
always.
Deep, deep, deep gashaw, and thank you.
Thanks for joining us, Isota. And I appreciated that focus on the weeds and the importance of learning what a weed is so that we can know what we're dealing with, Ashwini.
Yes. Yeah, well, and that place of in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In every way, all I'm doing is training myself, right?
Yes.
To be what I am, yeah.
Yeah, wonderful. And we have another caller here. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, Michael. Hi, Ashwini. It's Todd.
Hey, Todd.
Hey.
Todd, you sound a little bit like you're in an echo chamber.
Oh, okay. Let me move.
Is that a little better?
much better.
Thank you. Okay. I was really enjoying the good news update, Dan and Jen talking about the email class. And one of the things I saw about it, and maybe many folks have the same experience, is the format was quite a bit different than previous mm-hmm. email classes, with the assignments coming in the guided imageries.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and they are just so rich, and the ability to re-listen to them and mm-hmm. follow guidance of making notes, doing some recording and listening, you know, giving lifetime to see awarenesses and insights, and then reminders to send in your submission. And I just love the entire process of revisiting the guided imagery several times. There seemed to be deeper levels every time it was re-listened to and explored.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the format was very different, and the assignments were just for those people who weren't part of the process, right? The assignments mm-hmm. were not just written in my assignments emailed to us. They were actually the guide leading us
yeah.
to experiences. And
yes.
It's such a tangible experience, I think. That's what you're pointing us to, right, Todd? That when you're mm-hmm. experiencing something, there's such a level of richness, dimensionality, texture, and depth that we can access because we are, you know, the conscious compassion. I mean, we're being guided to having or attending or being the conscious, compassionate awareness that can register all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And the more often you do it, the more things you register, right?
Yeah.
And so you go deeper
right.
and deeper into an experience of seeing, and the process is the outcome because the imagery is not leading you to something that you understand or you learn mm-hmm. or you get in terms of the content, but the process of attending to awareness is what we're being trained in through the imagery. Of noticing what happens
yeah.
when attention is on awareness, right? That's the that's the guidance. And so
yes.
now I've become really skilled in being mm-hmm. able to report from that awareness, to access it, report it, to delve its depth, to see, to talk from it, to see what
mm-hmm.
it's seeing, right? And
yeah.
as you said, every time
yeah.
you do it, it's different.
Yes, yes. Yeah, and then to have the only way I can describe it is the voluminous feedback of submissions from Sangha, of the nuances and perspectives and pieces of karma that I don't necessarily resonate with, but I can relate to in a way, and then just some responses are just like, I must have wrote that, but I didn't,
uh-huh.
you know.
Yeah.
So then there's that multi-layered ability then to go through those. And I was starting to record some of those too. I just found some really on point, and I recorded those as well. And just to have then all those, I guess you've coined this, nodes of intelligence reporting back on their experiences of attention on awareness and the arc of the email class of expanding one's awareness to the final garden where we, you know, get to discern weeds from flowers and vegetables or life from ego. So just the entire, and of course we're in the final step of it. This week is the final step. Jen said extra credit one. So, and I'm playing with that one because that's a lot of fun. We've got a week to explore that one and setting little practice intentions and recording about that and following up. But just the depth and just the, as you said, the textures and richness of the submissions as well was really profound.
It's the same thing as this. Yes, it's very profound, right, Todd? Because again, part of what I think you're also pointing to is the sincerity of the awareness practitioner that you are, right? That
yes.
that's the benefit of what you are being. You're being interested. You're being sincere. You're being curious. You're being the mirror that you're being the practitioner who's reading every response with such care and attention. So you're being what you want to be, right? In every moment. And so on a content level and on a process level, it's the wonderful mirroring of I get the experience of belonging, I get the experience of resonance, I get the experience of compassion, I get the experience of interest, of participation, of engagement, of mirroring, of being mirrored, because I am being what I want to be, right? Which is practicing and engaged. And so we get it on so many levels, right?
Right. Yeah, it was just, it seemed like we did cover a lot of ground in a very short period of time. It was kind of talked about it. Good news update. And I kind of felt like it was like, wow, I've been doing practice for a while, but it's like, whoa, there's kind of leaps and bounds in this practice, a practitioner. It kind of really, really condensed, I can't even put into words how that felt. It just was just a lot of experiences, a lot to look at, a lot to report on, a lot to, as you said, mirror and be mirrored. Like that. Mirror and be mirrored.
And what that tells me, right, Todd, that the ability to condense so much in such short period of time and know that there's so much to explore is that we were ready. Right? Because otherwise, you just go, okay, well, I'm completely overwhelmed. I have no idea what anyone's talking about. But we went along for the adventure, right?
True. No, I see where you're pointing.
And there was complete permission to say that. Oh, my God, I don't know what you're talking about, or I'm still stuck here. Because the whole, what we explored was the process of awakening.
Yes, exactly.
This is par for the course. Take this as what happens. Sometimes you get identified, sometimes you don't, sometimes you're ecstatic, sometimes you're not. Let's all just enjoy the ride.
No, I just really, really appreciated all the elements of it, and especially receiving those assignments and those guided images from the guide. Wow, they were, and to have the ability to have them now too. We offer the opportunity to download them and archive them. I've re-listened from the beginning a couple times, just class 1, 2, to just kind of go through the guided imageries all the way through, just to have that as support. And I just find them so supportive.
As an abject, right, Todd? There's a way in which we project the level of presence that is guiding us to presence and being able to. There's nothing. It never gets old, right?
No, never gets old.
Because all we're doing is being allowing us to come to presence. And there's such a tenderness associated to having that happen with the guide's voice, right? Over and over again.
And the role modeling of possibilities, right? Of taking attention off ego and placing it on conscious compassion awareness. That role modeling is just constant. Mm-hmm. We're constantly led to saying, this is the what is the possibility? And that was one of the framing of the questions of one of the assignments. Says, what is possible if you take attention off ego and place it on life? And that's where the guided imageries took me. It was like, wow. Well, thank you, Ashwini. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Todd.
Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Todd. And Ashwini, I also really appreciated the format of the guided imageries. And as Todd said, being able to listen to them over and over and having that experience sink in.
And just hats off to everyone who's doing that, right, Michael? Because that's the commitment to the practice.
Yes, exactly. And Ashwini, we are going to break here and hear from our sponsor, and then we'll come back and talk with more callers.
Wonderful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart, and one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Ashwini, we have more callers here.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Andrea.
Hi, Andrea.
Hey, Andrea.
Hi. Yeah, I guess I've been thinking about the email class a lot myself.
Okay. Say more.
Well, I have to admit, I didn't get to the last assignment, but I did all the other ones. And I have been listening probably multiple times to the sixth guided imagery about the garden.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so relaxing that I end up falling asleep. And so I think that's interesting. And I think that I will try to do it again sitting up. And but I've done it multiple times, and I can't get through the imagery. But I know what most of it is. What most of it is, it's just that I go in and out of the imagery. And I guess I just find the guided imagery is really helpful and centering and. I'm enjoying them. Mm-hmm. One thing I was wondering was about transcending ego, and I know you just talked about that, which I guess I'm still trying to see what the distinction is between dropping ego and transcending ego, and I guess the only thing that comes to me is that dropping it would be like seeing the conversation and then dropping it, whereas transcending it to me would seem to be like focusing on life rather than on the conversation.
So the distinction that you're seeing is sort of what we touched in with Anusoka, right? I can look at how the suffering happens and attempt not to suffer, or I could focus on how life happens, and therefore I'm not suffering.
Yeah, because, I mean, to me, it seemed like we were talking about looking through ego, then looking at ego. And to me, transcending it would seem to be looking at life. Or looking through life, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, looking through life rather than looking at ego, right?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And how about... Here's one of the things that was written in the responses, I think, that to the class, right, Andrea, which is there's a way in which if we talk about it this way, right, you have to encounter what you need to transcend. So you keep encountering it till you've transcended it, right? So if you keep dropping it, if you don't explore it, if you don't go through it, then it does. It's not transformed, right? So you could. So let me give an example.
Yeah.
I can say, all right, redirecting the attention is what we do in practice, right? So when I get upset, what I'm going to do is redirect attention. And you get upset and you don't redirect the attention. So if I'm paying attention to why I'm getting upset, I'm 100% present and able to determine what's going on around getting upset. I get to understand it. I get to know the sensations of it. I process map it. I work out who the person is who's suffering. There's a way in which I work with it till it's no longer around.
Mm-hmm.
And so that could be a place of exploration of transcendence, right, where the karma is over because you've lost interest in how you feel, or you've learned to redirect the attention so that the circuit doesn't draw you in. You've broken the self-hate around it. There's just a way in which that might be what you want to be looking at, that it's not an avoidance strategy. It's not an intellectual exercise. It's a going through it and going beyond it.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, and I think it's a moment-to-moment thing, because to me, sometimes I think I need to look at it and see all the components, and just refocusing my attention isn't what's needed, but other times looking at it may just be like beating a dead horse or something, you know, like
precisely.
Done it so much that, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think you're making a very important point, and a point that we make continuously, right? Part of what we learn and part of what Insight needs experience, you can tell, okay, this is something, as you said, is beating a dead horse. I don't actually need to attend to it anymore. And right. And there, redirecting the attention is an appropriate, it's appropriate to do because, yeah, it's appropriate. And in other places, you feel like you have to go into it some more, right? And so almost even asking the question, it's really like a head question, right? What wants to know? Because
you mean about transcendence versus dropping it.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah,
yeah,
because
you sense
what the difference is.
Yeah, and I think, you know, of course, it's always the figuring it out. And
yes.
Yeah.
Because you figure it out in order to get it right. And then it gets set up for a standard that you can't meet, that you get beaten over, right?
Right, right. Because, I think, you know, like sometimes Sherry says that ego is fear, and to me, the way it manifests is I definitely can see the fear, and I can also see when I feel like I'm not doing it right, there's this fear, and that's the fear, you know, that's the flavor of the fear that I experience.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. So if you extend that in the framework we're talking about, right, your sense of being able to be in well-being, regardless of the outcome, means it's transcendence, right?
Yeah.
So if it goes this way, there's no conversation about how well it went and how happy you are because it went well. And if it didn't go the way that you wanted to go, it went wrong, within quotes, there is still no ability for the voice to make you feel miserable. Now you are in a place of transcendence, of freedom, because it doesn't affect you, right?
Yeah.
And that's a moment-by-moment thing as well.
Yeah, I mean, and I remember this conversation I had with Sherry about enjoying the rain and how it's a moment-to-moment thing. And I think that's where ego, can get me with the practicing, which is basically that, it will tell me that I don't have what it takes to do it moment by moment, you know, that, it's too hard. I can't remember. It's just too difficult to do that, you know.
And the only moment you're not within quotes doing it, it's the moment you're listening to it, right? It's making a statement about all moments in existence, which it doesn't know anything about.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely feel like I can remember better, and really, I mean, as everybody calls it, practice, right? If you do it, then you'll remember more, and if you don't do it, you'll be stuck in ego more.
Mm-hmm. Well, and really the most important thing I think you're closing in on, right, Andre, is when it says you're not going to be able to do it, in that moment for you to go, gotcha, no, mm-hmm. I don't believe that's true. That's it. You don't have to go fix all the moments that you weren't present or commit to being present for all the moments in the future, right?
Yeah.
That's what creates that sense of being out of the moment. Because in this moment, if you can hear it and see what it's saying, then you can drop it and transcend it. You're making the movement that allows you in this moment to have this moment.
Hmm. Yeah, I like that. That's definitely a reassurance.
It's reassuring, and it's the only thing that's possible. What conditioning is telling us is always impossible, because it's making a blanket statement about something that's totally abstract, that's unachievable, and making you feel bad about it, right? That's
exactly.
What it's hoping to do. Yeah.
Yeah, it's hoping to catch me and hoping to use it as a hook. So the more I can see what the hook is and not and realize that I don't need to believe it, the
mm-hmm.
better I feel.
Yeah. That's right, and that is your experience. And your experience is that there's more often, there are more times that you're here enjoying the rain than you are believing a voice that says you cannot do it moment by moment.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you. Take care, Andrea.
Okay. Bye bye.
Keep us posted, huh?
Thanks for joining us, Andrea. And Ashwini, I always appreciate that feedback or guidance that if I've seen the voice or heard the voice, then I had to be in awareness in order to hear it or see it.
Yes, and to that what the email class was sort of bringing home over and over and over again is take that next step of recognizing that awareness was what witnessed the voice.
Yes.
That you're not that voice or
yes.
what the voice was talking to, but what was aware of that voice and what the voice was talking to, right?
Yes. Yes. Yes, definitely.
And that's the training process that Isota was talking about, right? That's what the class is encouraging us to do. That's your training place now.
Right, right. Wonderful. And we have another caller here. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hello. This is Pasha.
Hey, Pasha.
Hey, Pasha.
Hi. Hi, Michael. Hi, Ashwini. I'm glad to make through the queue. This is my lucky day. It's a joy to participate, to be included, and to have such a support. I was just yesterday talking with my reflective listening body, and seeing how we are supported by practice everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that you just had a reflective body call, and it feels like there's a supportive practice everywhere for you.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And also I'm taking advantage of text body, where texting my practice commitment every day. And at first I was in a belief of like, oh, that's not such a big deal or big difference it would make, mm-hmm. But when I start doing it, and this is my second or third quarter, I found like, wow, there is a huge difference.
Yeah, there is a huge difference, because when you're listening to voice that says, it's not going to make a difference, that voice doesn't know, and you're not actually doing it and having the experience of it. But as soon as you participate, you can see what your actual experience is, and it's very, very different from what the voice says is your experience or going to be your experience.
Yes, yes. Mm. It's amazing to see how experience different from thinking about experience.
Yes, absolutely. Let me underline that. It's amazing to see the difference between having an experience and thinking about the experience.
Yes. Mm. And of course, I can go, I'll now look back and think about the actual experience.
Absolutely, that we don't want to do that either, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and it's also like trying to package, into words, into understanding, what happened. But
right.
What's happening is what's happening. It's doesn't need to be packaged and described as if I like. Try to go and explain somebody, this is amazing practice, like I've tried many times. Explaining people.
It's what Cheryl was talking about in her newsletter article, right? We lose interest in thinking. You want to lose your mind.
Yes.
You don't want to think about how it's going to be, and you don't want to think about how it was. You just want to be here for it.
Yes, there was a recent Peace Corps, which is another practice support, or something along the lines. I don't remember, was it Hafiz or Rumi, about losing interest in thinking, but staying with heart experience, which is very different and much bigger. So I find myself going through the time of continuing practicing through these pandemic times, and I saw there is some kind of a conversation or belief. It's like, oh, well, it's different. It's not the same as it used to be, and it's not in person, blah, blah, blah. But I was struck by another kind of small voice saying, I wonder how is it going to work out? How's it going to find opportunities to practice, and how the practice is going to shape in these times? And as soon as I saw that, I didn't have an answer to the first question, but I was already outside of that, puzzle. And thought and thinking, I was already in the wonder.
So let me see if I'm following, Pasha. What you're aware of is how the mind asks the question as a way to engage with the mind. It's not actually, there are no answers to the question necessarily. But if you fall for the hook, then you could be in interacting with it and speculating and thinking about it and all of that. But what you were aware was of a still small voice that said, maybe we don't know the answer to that question. And so that's that koan place, right, where we're not engaging the conditioned mind to answer the question. And what the way life answers the question, it answers it for you completely, but also pops you out of that very small, limited mental processing. and you're in wonder.
Yeah.
You don't need to answer the question, but you're in well-being because the question is answered in a way that releases you from that conditioned process.
Yes, yes. It doesn't necessarily provide the answer, but it provides the exit from the noodling and desperation of, like, I need to solve it, I need to figure out, and so on. And, yeah, and what I saw in my practice, life presents, you know, wonderful different opportunities, like, you know, walks in nature, at the distance where there is less of destruction, there is a kind of more opportunity to be with the nature and less chances of being interrupted by, you know, somebody coming in, even like asking for directions, because it's just less people and less of interactions. But there is, yeah, so I find myself walking in a park or going on a hike and being there with presence, with life included, as if I'm at the monastery.
So what you're finding is you can't go to the monastery, which is your refuge, something you've done every year.
Yeah.
And there's always that, okay, so what do I do? How can I sort of replicate the monastery environment if the monastery, I mean, how do I have the experiences that I have at the monastery if I can't go to the monastery? And what you're finding is, well, you're present to how it is now, right? You're out of that, okay, I can only experience this at the monastery, but I'm learning to be present the way it is now here for what's available. And so nature or hiking allows you to be present without interruption. And it may not be what it's like at the monastery, but it is what is now. And then hopefully, you know, at some point you'll be able to go to the monastery. But
yeah.
The suffering
yeah.
is being in the conversation about not having the practice opportunity that will give you the feeling of presence. Right? And,
yeah.
and just having the presence without suffering about not being at the monastery.
Yes. And that's just another conditioned mind trap to get to
yes.
think about it. But
yes.
it's, you know, here and now we can exit from the trap and go to nature. And I remember I was walking and looking at flowers in one workshop we did. You know, now it seems like years ago, about looking with fresh eyes. And there I was. I was at that workshop as if remembering how I looked at the flower with the same freshness of the eyes, with the same, like, oh, wow, I don't understand, like, what's everything in the flower, but I'm with it, I'm enjoying it, and I'm studying it. And in that study, I'm, you can say, like, one with the flower. And that was an experience that made me giggle as I'm remembering very old workshop.
Mm-hmm. 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 And so there's a way in which that we carry the monastery with us, right? Because
yeah.
those experiences are... I mean, they're not necessarily remembered, but you're having them right now while you're looking at this flower. It dropped
yeah,
in.
They're coming up.
Yes, they're coming up, exactly.
Yeah. And this ability to look at something ordinary with such a freshness of the eyes, that's such a valuable tool, and it's amazing that what we have here now is always available for us to be looked freshly.
So it's a process, right? It being that present is a process. We train to be that present, to have those fresh eyes at a place like the monastery, And that training allows us to have that place of presence wherever we are.
Yes, yes. Thank you so much, Deep Gashol.
Thanks, Pasha.
Thanks for joining us, Pasha. And Ashwini, it seems that we are always training to come back to here now.
Yeah.
Over and over, regardless of the circumstances that we're in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, regardless of the circumstances we're in, yeah. Yeah, and there are those, you know, there are those places. I mean, we always go to an experience, right, Michael? I think that's what Pasha is pointing us to. The monastery isn't a thing. It's a set of structures that assist us to be present. So
yes.
Wherever we're present, we're at the monastery, right?
Yes, yes,
yeah.
Yes, yes, right. And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, this is Justin up in Bear Valley, but pulled over on the side of the road in Arnold.
Hey, Justin.
Hi, Justin. Wherever you are, you're here.
Yeah, exactly. Wow, I feel like I saw my whole life in like the past hour, one of those experiences.
Uh-huh. Well, I hope you're safe. And it wasn't one of those.
Yeah, no.
See your life pass before your eyes as you're having a near death experience.
Yeah, no, it wasn't like a near death experience, but just like an awareness kind of experience. And maybe process it a little bit. But anyways, like an hour ago, I was in the Murphy's Market, and I was shopping, and like through basically my best guess is through like the year long class we're doing, and you know, in exploring expanded awareness, like everything just felt super vibrant in the market, and I felt like super, I mean, just aware, you know, aware of the music playing, aware of the ice cream, aware of that conversation, kind of aware of everything that was going on.
Uh-huh.
And then in the awareness, it drops in when I get back in my car to call into open air because it's 4:50. And so a little dance with ego, but I call in, and then I'm driving and listening. And then my cell signal drops, and then it's like ego's just, oh, we'll give up. You know, it's not meant to be, right? You shouldn't call in today. But I don't listen to that, so I do call in. and then I put myself in the queue, and I pull over on the side of the road, and then there's this huge sense of righteousness from ego. Because I pulled over on the side of the road, I deserve to be unmuted. And it's just like, you know, I have groceries in my car and I'm trying to get home, and here I am on the side of the road. It's like, you deserve to be unmuted. And I'm just like, eyes wide open, staring at this, like, oh my God, what is this thing that's happening that's coming up?
Mm-hmm.
And then here I am right now.
Yeah. Yeah. So, what you're referring to as seeing your whole life flash before your eyes is really how conditioning, the processes that play out for you, you were able to see them all play out for you, right? The expanded awareness of being in the market, the tussle with ego about whether or not you participate, the righteousness of ego that you should be called upon because you're doing all of these things in order to participate and look at what you're sacrificing, not knowing whether you will be called in to talk in the show or not, and there you are. You're dead unmuted.
Yeah, exactly. And then hearing it reflected back, like, it's just such like a human experience, and yet it's not being completely identified. It seems like the experience of awareness of watching this all unfold through the life of basically a human, and just like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
None of it's really personal. But there it goes, there it goes.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So to have that, to be able to practice with what the class is all about, right? Being the awareness that's aware of it all, rather than being identified with the ego that's self-righteous, or even the human being caught in the experience, right? Because what you're saying is, it's the ability to witness both the human and the ego.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. And being pointed to in the class that as we've been talking about in this call, that you are the awareness that's aware of those things, not as an idea, not as like something you should aspire to, not because that's the right spiritual person to be, but because that's your experience at times.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And very well stated. Not as an intellectual idea or not something that you aspire to, not something you talk about, but just, you know, within quotes, right? It's that knowing, because that's what you are, and being able to have the experience of that. Yeah, there's nothing like it, right, Justin? Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing, and just so much gratitude, and I just love where we're being pointed to in the year-long of, you know, of realizing we are that awareness rather than, at least my understanding of it, rather than just the focus on ego, which seems very necessary, right, to recognize we're not it, but if we're not it, then what are we? And,
Exactly. That I think that was the gift of the class, which is to point out that awareness practice is not just about the awareness of ego, but awareness practice is being aware of awareness. Now, what is that experience, right? It's such an expansive place for exploration. It expands the exploration.
Yeah, exactly. And going through that experience, you see, though, why, or at least my understanding, I guess my experience of it, is you see, though, why when we first come to practice, you know, there needs to be the awareness of the ego, right? Because it's kind of like a skin. And, you know, if you talk about expanded awareness right in the beginning, you're like, I have no idea what you're talking about, right?
Yeah,
and
yeah. I don't even know what awareness is.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm me. I'm blah, blah, blah. I think my thoughts and feel my feelings, and that's who I am. And to get to explore all that through the Sangha, and and transcend that it's really amazing. It's so amazing.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think what you're pointing us to, Justin, is also that what we were pointing in the class, that, you know, awareness practice isn't one thing. You go through various stages of practice, right? When you come to practice, you learn about weeds, and then, you know, you learn not to be frustrated with weeds, and then you learn to let go of weeds, and then you learn to love flowers, and then you learn, you know, there's a way in which how practice is structured and guides us through our trajectory is the way it happens. And so to feel bad about any of those things, or to feel like I'm here and I don't understand what anyone else is talking about, that's also part of the process. And we can just relax, right? Relax into how we are being unfolded.
Yeah, and it being unfolded as a group, and seeing people go through the same processes. Because one of the ego special I've seen is, like, your suffering is unique. You know, you're a special case. You know, you're somewhere where no one else is in this. Like, oh my God. And it's like, you believe it until you get in these groups and go on these calls and listen to everyone else. And you're like, oh my God, that's exactly where I was, or probably that's exactly where I'm going to be, or, you know, there's just such a recognition of that experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's how you become aware of what you don't see yet, right? Because it gets mirrored for you and go, wait a second, that's my experience too. I may not have seen it that way, but now I've seen that it's a universal process, because I'm not the only one having that experience, right? You see it in one person, it's okay, well, it's a coincidence, but you see it in 200 people who are doing the same class with you, then it's sort of like incontrovertible evidence, right?
Right, exactly. It is a reassurance. And if it doesn't land at all, then it's like, well, that's interesting. You know, I wonder what's going on there. It kind of raises the red flag a little, like, maybe it's something to take a look at. Thank you. Know the song is amazing, and thank you guys so much. And I've been listening to so many open air archives, and I just want to say a big thanks to Michael and Cherry and everyone, but especially Michael, who's been doing it for 20 years. Is just absolutely astounding, and those are such a huge help. And I just have this playing basically kind of all day at any chance, so thank you. Thank you guys all so much.
Thanks so much, Justin.
Thanks for joining us, Justin. And now we are just adding another archive. to the archive that Justin was just talking about.
Another gratitude to you and Jerry for doing it for so long. Thanks, Michael.
Yes, and thanks to you and to the Sangha for everyone who joined us tonight. It's a great pleasure, and go happy.
Go happy.